This podcast is intended for investment professionals.
Hello and welcome to LGIM Talks, where this week we've learnt that an eye-watering $400 billion has been added to our national debt in just 12 months. So how exactly do we pay for this pandemic? I'm Frances Watson, content manager here at LGIM, and joining me is Hetal Mehta, senior European economist. Hetal, welcome to you. Now, it came through loud and clear in the Chancellor's spending review that debt's ballooning. How worried should we be?
So I think in the short term, there's no need to worry. We would expect, obviously, in the current circumstances that the government has to spend more money. And fiscal policy has a really big role to play to make sure that economic scarring, so the kind of permanent damage to the economy, is minimised. And so we would see debt increase in the short term. And I think that can actually be healthy if it prevents zombie companies and a further credit crunch later down the line, and even prevent a future build-up of debt. I think the key thing is that it's targeted in the right way so that it helps viable businesses, viable households, and keeps unemployment from preventing it from rising as much as possible, because that can have quite long-term detrimental effects on the economy and then would make it much harder for debt to come down in the future.
But eventually we're going to have to face facts, aren't we, Hetal, and pay for this pandemic somehow, aren't we?
Yes, of course, one day that will be the case, and eventually we would expect taxes to rise and government spending to be cut back. The exact mix of the right measures that would take is quite hard to pin down at this stage. Generally speaking, cutting spending tends to have more impact than raising taxes. Raising taxes often creates disincentives for economic activity. So cutting spending tends to be better and also actually helps private sector investment. But we should remember also in the short term, there will be some improvement in the public finances. And by short term, I mean next year and year after, as the economy does start to recover. So we assume there'll be an effective vaccine in place and that the virus fades. And as the economy does pick up, and the economic restrictions in place are lifted, that will automatically help the public finances.
Okay, so let's assume then that we return to some sort of normality, as you say. Will the increased level of debt affect the overall UK's level of competitiveness, though? Because that's the key thing, isn't it? And its effect on productivity.
It's a very important thing, and it is possible that high debt will affect our growth prospects and our competitiveness. There's a lot of literature out there that shows that once debt reaches a certain threshold, say around 90% of GDP, that it can have a damaging effect on growth. And one other thing to remember is that countries with high debt typically want higher inflation to reduce the real burden of that debt, and that higher inflation would make a country less competitive. But then again, the situation is all relative. We know many countries are seeing debt rise currently. The UK is not alone by any measure, and it's really unclear whether the UK would lose out more than other countries in the current environment.
Yes, I guess we're all in the same boat, aren't we? But so looking just at government bond markets, and you know, in the last few months, we've seen that issuance has been really heavy, but demand's also high, isn't it? So in your view, are we ever likely to see a return to higher bond yields?
Well, I would say it's quite possible that we do see higher bond yields. It is that balance of supply and demand, as you mentioned. Over the years, we've seen yields trending down more than anyone would have anticipated. And that's despite, obviously, in the current environment, even where issuance has ballooned significantly. But we do have a buyer on the other side, a major buyer in the form of the Bank of England and their QE programme, which is similarly sized to the amount of debt being issued by the government. So in that equilibrium, it's hard to see yields rising significantly. From a financial stability perspective, the Bank of England will be quite cautious about signalling any increase in rates or balance sheet unwind. It is going to be quite a long time before we see monetary policy return to what we would have called normal levels. And something that could actually cause yields to fall further, of course, if the Bank of England decides that they are going to reduce what they currently think is the lower bound in interest rates. So we have interest rates very low in the UK, but still in positive territory. And the Bank of England is conducting a review on whether rates could go into negative territory, as we have seen in other countries such as the euro area, for example. And that would certainly actually push down gilt yields if that was to be announced.
Okay, so you know, picking up on that negative interest rate policy, then Hetal, where does that actually leave the outlook for inflation in the UK?
So I think, regardless of a change in interest rates, in the very near term, inflation is going to be subdued. So we have a number of factors currently weighing down on inflation. Services prices have been cut, given that these sectors have been hit harder by the restrictions put in place to curb the pandemic. And we've also had government schemes such as Eat Out to help out, as the VAT cut on hospitality is still in place. So these things are all helping to keep services inflation quite low. And it's worth remembering that services inflation makes up about half of overall inflation. And we've also seen energy prices fall. But these are all temporary measures. They will wear off. And probably by the spring, we will see inflation snap back to around 2%. The trickier answer, I think, is for the medium term. And here, you know, there are a number of things to consider. We have high unemployment, for example, and if that was to persist, it will be harder for prices to rise. There'll be a lot of competitive pressure on the high street as well to keep prices low. And that's another reason why monetary policy will have to stay loose for quite some time.
Yes, Chancellor's going to have to walk a fine tightrope, isn't he, in the months to come. Hetal Mehta, interesting stuff and food for thought there. Thanks so much for joining LGIM Talks.
Thanks.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.